The temperatures are decidedly warmer now, which means we're coming to the close of another maple sugaring season. But back when the weather was still cold and muddy and hard to drive in, producer Erica Heilman spent a day visiting with Brian Blaisdell of Blaisdell Maple Farm in Cabot. We start in the truck.
My uncle called me up one day and goes, "Hey boy, I heard you're looking for a tank." He's passed away now, it's my dad's brother. I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "How about the old one from my farm?" I said, "Oh yeah." I said, "How much?" He goes, "Well, come take a look at it and then we'll discuss that part of it." So, because he said she's... I said, "Well, all right." So, she's a little soft. We're gonna have to give her a little bit of go juice here.
That's Brian Blaisdell backing up to his sugaring tank at the bottom of his friend Matt's field. Brian is a mechanic and a sugar maker in Cabot. A few years ago, I interviewed his father, Carl, and back in the fall, I was trying to find Carl, but I didn't have his number. So I started calling Blaisdell's, and I got his son, Brian, on the phone, and he told me he ran a sugaring operation, and I asked if I could drive around with him in the spring when he was gathering sap in his truck, and he said yes, so I did. Brian has a lot of different skills, and he needs all of them to make a living. He also has a lot of capable friends, people who know how to make things and fix things, and they share these skills with each other as a matter of habit. Here's a few minutes with Brian Blaisdell of Blaisdell Maple Farm.
Okay, so what is this?
We're hooking hose up to load the truck. These pumps here are water-cooled. It's old way of doing it before oil got as high-tech as it does, because now people run oil so they don't have to tend to the water. Where if it's got to be really cold at night, I have to get down here and pull all the pipes out of the brook, make sure they drain, or if they freeze, I got to lay them out so they'll drain and thaw out before the vacuum starts running.
Okay, I am so confused. I'm sorry.
Well, see right here, I got... These pumps require water to stay cool, like a radiator. And the newer ones all require oil. But this is old school. Water runs in. See the water running out? It just circulates through a tank to keep that pump cool. And it spins water really fast to make the vacuum. That's how the vacuum works.
Okay, so when that water gets too cold, you got a problem?
No, when it freezes, don't have no water going in. It gets hot, it overheats the pump.
So then what do?
I have to shut them off until I get the water going.
Okay, I see.
Or
okay.
Shovel snow in the tub. That's why you'll notice a shovel at every one, just in case. Because sometimes in the spring of the year, when we haven't got the water going, we'll shovel snow in.
That sounds like a kind of a...
Just another step, right?
Yeah, but I mean, that means like you're doing it every couple
three,
minutes.
3 or 4 hours.
Oh, 3 or 4 hours. You got 3 or 4 hours?
Sure, you load it right up, round it right up, just like a creamy. It's all going to melt, right? So as it melts, keeps that water cold.
And you got a few hours on that?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I would have thought that it would be.
But
like...
you've got to haul in about 2 wheelbarrow loads of snow, right? 2 or 3 wheelbarrow loads. Then that water pushes out the drain, so it just, as it melts it. Because hot water rises to the top of the tub and runs out the overflow. So then it goes right back through there and right down through the culvert and right back to the brook. So all we're doing is borrowing it.
Right.
So
this time of year is pretty much 24/7. I mean, it's like, are you...
You never know. It's, tell God you're planning for the day and see how it works for you. My wife gets so agitated for me because there's nothing etched in stone. You can't plan on it because she wants to know how much money you're going to spend and whatever and this and that. And I never know. She goes, "Well, what are you going to..." I have no idea. "What are you going to do today?" I don't know. But it's just like, you know, you might find yourself up to Jim Rogers, my neighbor. He moves houses. Sometimes he calls me up and needs me to move equipment for him because he hasn't got time to do it. So I will. I don't know what I'll do today. Sometimes I'll be up helping Matt at the farm. He needs something broke. So there I'll be. But it's like I told my wife, I said, I got to do something because there's no social security for guys like me. Because I said, you know, when I retire, if I do, because what is it? I think it's 71 now for me to get full benefits. And chances of me making it to 71 are probably slim to none, welding and all the stuff I've done. I'll probably die of cancer or something, you know, just the way it is. You're welding and grinding and doing all this stuff in the shop, and then I painted, worked in paint, lead paint, scraped all kinds of lead paint, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, and my wife used to say, you know, you should change your lifestyle. But if you change your lifestyle, there's no money in it, right? So you either have one way or the other. You either have some money in your pocket and you grunt and get ahead a little, or lay around and wait to die. So I don't know. I just get up in the morning, tie my shoes and go to work.
Do you like it though? Do you like your life?
I'm not sorry for it. I've done well. I've, you know, done well. So the hardest season I had was about 5 years ago. I broke my ankle right in February. I was right in front of the sugar house, and I was trying to get everything up and going. Broke my ankle, and I'd already been to the top of Dad's mountain and fixed a bunch of stuff. And I was fixing stuff just right by my house, the releaser and stuff, getting everything ready to go. Sap was gonna run, it was in February. And I had about 3,000 to 5,000 gallons of sap, and I was gonna boil that day. And I slipped on the ice and broke my ankle, a bunch of stuff I was taking up on the mountain to fix some stuff. And so Tammy had to call Matt Lindstrom, and he came over and helped me get in the car. And Tammy took me to the hospital, and I broke my ankle. And I called everybody I knew to see if they wanted sap. Nobody was ready, so Matt had to go through and dump all my sap so it wouldn't freeze in the tanks. And he goes, "You sure you're not going to try to keep it?" And I said, "I can't, because if it freezes up in the tanks, it's going to do more damage than good." So I got out, and I talked to my wife. I said, "Boy, this could really put a hurting on us, because, you know, it might be a hard year." And all my friends came out of the woodwork and took care of everything. Walked all my vacuum lines. I mean, my vacuum wasn't quite up to where I like it, but Jim would come drive my sap truck every day and come gather all my sap for me. Then Jim would come every night and gather my sap again for me. You know, then I was pretty thankful for every one of them. You know.
It's pretty great.
It's pretty awesome, ain't it?
This is Erica Heilman with Vermont Public.